This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ahdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi amin ya rabbal alameen. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the most beautiful names of Allah the Exalted. And today, inshallah, we will begin with the name of Allah al-Musa'ir. This is a name that we came across when we were learning about one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our previous session, where we came across the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that inna Allah huwa al-musa'ir, that indeed Allah is al-musa'ir, He is al-qabidul basit, He is the one who expands or the one who constricts things, and He is al-razaq or al-raziq, meaning the one who provides. So we see that this name is actually mentioned in the Sunnah. It does not come in the Quran. And the meaning of this name is, when we look at the word al-musa'ir, this is from the word sa'ara. And sa'ara is to light a fire. And of course, when fire is kindled, it's understood that it's going to increase and decrease depending on, you know, the fuel and depending on the wind, etc. So sa'ar an-nar is to light a fire or to make it burn fiercely. And of course, that would be by adding more and more fuel. So fire is something that increases and decreases. You can see the flames rising up and you can see them decreasing. So flames increase and decrease. And tasir is to do so intensely, meaning to light a fire very intensely, to cause an increase in the fire. And from the same root is the word sa'ir. And sa'ir in the Quran, it comes for the fire or the blazing hellfire. So tasir also means to cause increase or decrease to the prices of things. And when it comes to, you know, the prices of things or the value of different items in the market, of course, these values or the prices, they increase and decrease because of many factors. So sarar is actually to fix the amount of the prices of food. Why? Because when it fluctuates too much, then this is something that is difficult on people. So this is what people want, that prices should be fixed. And we learned that once in Medina, there's a hadith in Abu Dawud that there was a period of severe inflation where the food prices were extremely high. So the companions requested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to impose price controls, to fix the prices so that people would not be able to, you know, increase the prices too much. So this is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is al-musa'ir, meaning I am not allowed to do that. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who determines the value, the price of things. He is al-qabid, the one who with his will and wisdom, restricts or constricts certain matters. And he is al-basit, the one who with his wisdom and his will expands or increases certain matters. So meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives things their value. So what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one by whose will the prices of things increase or decrease. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna Allaha huwal musa'ir," that indeed Allah, it is He who is al-musa'ir. This, you know, emphasizes the fact that it is only by the will and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the prices of things are determined or they fluctuate. Meaning, it is not people who have the ability or the authority to impose price controls. Because we see that when it comes to, you know, the matter of, you know, the price or the value of different things, there are so many factors that affect that. You know, for example, because of supply and demand. Like last year, you know, when it comes to face masks, nobody wanted them, right? I mean, it was something that, you know, nobody really cared about. And now all of a sudden, you know, people who are making face masks and selling them, you know, people in those industries, you know, they're making so much money. And this is a time where, you know, sometimes face masks can also be extremely expensive. So because of, you know, demand and also because of supply, we see that the prices of things increase and decrease. When it comes to food prices, you know, there are times when certain crops get ruined or because of natural, you know, causes, there isn't much yield, there isn't much harvest, or because of, you know, lack of rain or because of fire, etc. You know, this is something that affects the value of food. Likewise, if there's, you know, ships carrying freight, you know, they drown and things like that. Or because of, you know, political issues, you know, sanctions, trade tariffs, etc. All of these factors affect, you know, the price or the value of things. When it comes to, you know, we can see in recent years, you know, in certain places, when it comes to real estate, very, very expensive. And then remember the time of recession, when people were literally walking out of their homes and houses were being sold for such little money. So all of this shows us that, you know, these are matters which are beyond people's control. Any when the price of something increases because of natural factors, because of natural causes, who is it that you can blame? Who is it that you can hold responsible? You cannot. So this shows us that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is truly in control. You know, we realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of all matters when we experience certain things in our, you know, personal lives. But then also when it comes to our economic state, you know, of your locality, of your province, of your country, or in general, all over the world, these are all situations that remind us that really we are not the ones who are in control. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in control. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musarir, what does that mean? It means that we should believe that the price at which we have, you know, found something being sold, or the price at which, you know, we end up buying something was actually by the will and plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes we go and find something on sale and, you know, we feel like we got a really good deal. Or we go and we get to buy something really expensive and then, and we are in need of it, we have no choice, so we do spend a lot of money. But then we find out that somebody else got the exact same thing on a much lesser, you know, for a much lesser price. So why the difference? This was by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, by His qadr, right? You bought a house 10 years ago, you paid very little money. And today somebody is buying the same house and they're paying so much money. So this difference is by the qadr of Allah. And realize that this is a unique test for you, designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of thinking about, you know, I should have bought the house 10 years ago, or I should not have bought, you know, such and such thing on that day, I should have waited a few more days. Instead of, you know, being stuck on, I should have, I could have, you know, these are things that put us in, you know, in unnecessary anxiety. And also they make us doubt, you know, our decisions, make us more indecisive. you know, just put your trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musa'ir. It is by His will that I ended up, you know, buying this particular item for this much money. This was a unique test for me, designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, the name of Allah al-musa'ir also shows us that, you know, it also teaches us that when we are in any, in some financial constraint, or we are going through some economic crisis, as a family, or even as a country, then, or even when we're going to purchase something and we want, you know, a good deal, we want a good value, then we should call upon Allah al-musa'ir. And he made dua to Allah that, Ya Allah al-musa'ir, you know, make this matter easy for me, make this deal easy for me. You know, sometimes in a person's business, you know, they're not able to sell things, or they have to continue to reduce the prices, or they see that there's so much, you know, competition, because of which, your prices have to be decreased and things like that. This is a time when you call upon Allah by this name, Al-Musa'ir, that Ya Allah, You are the one who determines the value. You are the one who fixes the price of things. So make this in my favor. And make this matter profitable for me. Ameen. The next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be looking at today is the name Al-Qawi. Al-Qawi, the one who is powerful, the ever-powerful. Now the name of Allah Al-Qawi occurs 9 times in the Qur'an. And the name Al-Qawi is from Quwa, meaning Al-Qawi is the one who has Quwa. And what is Quwa? Quwa is strength or power. Qawiya is when something becomes strong or robust or sturdy. And it is the opposite of Darf. Darf is to be weak. And the opposite of this is Quwa. Quwa is to be strong. It is slightly different from ability, because qudra is to have ability, and ijz is to be unable. So qudra is the opposite of ijz, and quwwa is the opposite of darf. So al-qawi is the one who is strong, the one who is powerful. What does that mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qawi? What does that mean? It means that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quwwa, His power is absolute. It is ultimate. It is permanent. Meaning His power is the strongest. His strength is the most powerful. And His strength, His power is such that it does not weaken with time. And His strength, His power is such that nothing at all is outside of His power. Nothing is beyond His strength, meaning He is so strong, He is so powerful that everything is weak before Him. It means that He is free of need of everyone. He is independent of all because He is Al-Qawi. And He is free of any weakness, which means that His power cannot be defeated. It cannot be weakened. It cannot be disabled in any way. His power, His strength is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so much. And when you look at all the creation around you, realize that this is the work of Al-Qawi. And how powerful He is, that He has created all of this. Think about all of the forces that exist within the universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all of them. And His quwwa, His power is such that He just wills. And whatever He wills, whatever He wants, happens. So nothing can become an obstacle to His will. And so powerful He is that when He wills something, when He wants something to happen, then nothing at all can become an obstacle for Him. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qawi, it means that every power is belittled before His power. It is nothing. compared to him or before him. And it means that nothing at all can overcome him. Nothing at all can compete with him or can prevent him from executing his will, from doing what he wants. And nothing can escape him. And nothing can repel his decree, his will. Nothing can win against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also means that nothing can cause benefit or harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is al-qawi. He is so powerful that no one can harm him in any way. And no one could benefit him in any way because he is all-powerful. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it means that all creatures are in his control. So this means that no one can move, no one can do anything except by the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Except by the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, only after he wills, he allows. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it also means that he is the source of all power, meaning he gives power to whom he wills as per his wisdom, and he takes it away from whom he wills as per his wisdom. So in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadih yaruzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyul aziz, that Allah is kind to his slaves, he provides whomsoever he wills, and he is the qawi, the aziz. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, what are we supposed to do? What is our part? How should we think? What is it that we should believe? What is it that we should do? Meaning the belief in this name and the knowledge of this name, how should that impact our lives, our actions, and also our thinking? So the first thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it means that we should believe that all power is with Allah. We should believe that Allah is the source of all strength. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no might or power except with Allah. And every power that exists, it has been created by him and it has been given by him. Because when he is all powerful himself and he is the source of all power, that means that if any creature has any power, any strength, any force, it has been created and it has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is the quwwah that the angels have. And we learn in the Quran about how Angel Jibreel is so powerful. And it could be the power that people have. It could be the power that is with the jinn, the strength that the jinn have, or different animals. For example, certain animals, their power, the power, the force that they have in their jaws, in their teeth is so strong. Certain other animals, they're able to run so fast. They're able to climb so fast. So any power that any creature has, whether it is in the living things or in the non-living things even, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of that power. So whether it is, the force, the power that exists in water or in fire or in wind or in earth or in iron, in the mountains, in the sky, in the rivers, in the seas, in the oceans, in ice, in snow, in heat, any force, any strength, remember, it has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of that combined, if we were to put together, if we were to consolidate all the power and all the force that the creatures have, all of that power before the power of Allah is nothing. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 74, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They have not appraised Allah. They don't give Allah the status or the worth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly has. they don't realize how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And because of that, they don't show due respect. They don't think well or properly about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha laqawiyyun aziz. Indeed, Allah is surely qawi. He is ever strong, He is aziz, He is ever mighty. So remember that all the powers, all the created powers combined, there are nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Earlier also we learned about how the earth will be in the hand of Allah on the day of judgment. The skies will be rolled up in the hand of Allah on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi. So where will the force of all the waters and all the fire and all the wind and all of the earth and all of the creatures combined, where will that go? It will be nothing. It will dwindle away before the power of Al-Qawi. And this is something that we should never forget. Sometimes what happens is that when we see something very beautiful or very powerful, we get very impressed by it. And we get deceived by that. So we learn in Surah Al-Kahf about how that man who owned the two gardens, when he saw them, he said, that I don't think this is going to end at all. This is going to stay here forever. So his friend reprimanded him that walawla is dakhalta jannataka qulta ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. That why is it that when you entered your garden, why didn't you say ma sha Allah? This is whatever that Allah wills. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it. Excuse me. Okay. So why didn't you say that ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله, that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed, and there is no power or no might except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it means that we should believe that He is the source of absolute strength. And He is the giver of power, and all power before Him, all the power of the creatures before Him is nothing. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it means that we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quwwa, His power is permanent. Our power, our strength is not permanent. And the power, the strength of any creature also is not permanent. So we shouldn't get deceived by the strength that we have or by the strength that any creature has. Because no matter how strong someone is, they will eventually become weak, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ar-Rum, ayah 54, that Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'fin, that Allah is the one who has created you from weakness, meaning you were weak. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di da'fin quwwatan, then He made after your weakness strength, meaning you were weak at the beginning when you were little, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave you strength. He is the one who gave you power. And you see, when a child is born, that poor little creature doesn't even have the strength to hold its neck, right? To even have control over, its arms and legs, or even eyes. Subhanallah, in the first few days, babies don't even have the strength to, focus their vision. And then what happens over time? They develop that quwwa, that strength. So who gave them that quwwa? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا, then He made after quwwa weakness again. Meaning then you decline. Your strength, your power, it declines over time. And we experience this. Perhaps there was a time when you were able to run really fast, and now you cannot even think about running. Perhaps there was a time when you could, go hiking and go swimming and, do this and do that. And now there is no way you could even think about doing that. So when it comes to the force, the power that we have, remember that it is limited. It has been given to us as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a test. And we should realize that it is temporary. It is not going to be with us forever and for always. It's temporarily with us. So we should not get deceived by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us right now. In Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 78, we learn about the story of Qarun, who had a lot of wealth. And he said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. He said, I have been given this because of my knowledge. Meaning I have all of this because I know what to do. I have earned all of this. I have acquired all of this with my expertise, with my knowledge, with my skill. So it is said, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً. Does he not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed before him generations who were way stronger than him, who were way more powerful than him? أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً. Their quwwa was way more than the quwwa that Qarun possessed. وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. And they also had more, in terms of what they had accumulated. So don't get deceived by what you have been given, by the power, the force that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 165, we learn, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. That on the Day of Judgment, those people who did wrong, and ظلم, wrong can be, sin over here, it could be oppression even. And those who abuse their power, what will they realize on the Day of Judgment when they see the punishment? That أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. That all power belongs to Allah. And they will realize at that time that they truly have no power. And it was because of the power that they had in the world that they committed so much oppression, that they did so much wrong. So on the Day of Judgment, people will realize that, you know what? We don't own any power. All power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it means that we should be grateful for the quwwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we should not abuse it. Because consider how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful, al-qawi. Yet he is just, he is kind, he is generous towards his slaves. So if Allah has given us power, does that mean that we should become abusive and oppressive? No, this would be extremely wrong. So those who abuse the power, the quwwa that Allah has given them, then look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them. In Surah Fussilat, ayah 15, we learn, فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. So as for Ad, they were arrogant in the earth without any right. And what is meant by their arrogance is their abuse of power. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. And they said, who is stronger than us in might? Yani, there is no one who is stronger than us. We are the best. We are the strongest. We are the mightiest. Yani, they were very arrogant about the power that they possessed. So it is said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ. Didn't they consider the fact that Allah is the one who created them? هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. He is stronger than them in power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power will always be greater than yours. Always. So don't abuse the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. In Surah Ghafir, ayah 22, we learn, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانَتْ تَأْتِيهِمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَكَفَرُوا. That the previous nations, what happened with them? Their messengers would come to them with clear proofs, but the people denied. They rejected. They refused to believe. They were arrogant. So what happened? فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ. So Allah seized them, meaning with punishment. إِنَّهُ قَوِيٌّ. Indeed, he is قَوِي. He is ever strong, ever powerful. شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. He is severe in penalty. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, this means that we should be humble. We should not be deceived by the power that Allah has given us. We shouldn't be arrogant, especially towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, it means that we should not despair. And whatever weakness that we are experiencing, whatever loss that we are experiencing, whatever void we now have in our lives, whatever emptiness, there is in our lives, realize that you are the slave of Al-Mateen. You are the creature of Al-Qawi, of the one who is strong, the one who is mighty, the one who is Ar-Razzaq. So don't despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 58, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, that indeed Allah, it is He who is Ar-Razzaq, the continual provider. And He is Dhul Quwwa, the possessor of strength, Al-Mateen, the one who is firm. He is the firm possessor of strength. So why despair? Why feel defeated? Why feel like you have nothing? You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, then you're fine. Don't despair. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qawi, it also means that we should fear Him the most. When He is so powerful that no one can escape Him, that every power before Him is defeated, then it means that we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. This is why we're told in the Quran over and over again, fear Allah, don't fear people. فَلَا تَخْشَوُ النَّاسَ وَخْشَوْنِي. Do not fear people, fear Me. So why fear Allah? Because He is Al-Qawi. And fear Allah, sometimes what we think is that, I don't need to be afraid because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the strongest. I trust in Allah. I expect the best from Allah. He knows everything. He's got everything in His control. So, I don't need to feel weak. And that's excellent. But it also means that we should fear Allah. And yes, you don't fear people, you don't fear the world, but the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, it means that we should fear Allah. Fear Allah, meaning fear Him when you're doing something wrong. Fear Him when you're disobeying His command. Fear Him the most. In Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the state of those who, oppose his messenger. كَدَأْبِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. That what happened to the people of Quraysh is just what happened to the people of Fir'aun and those before them. That they disbelieved in the verses of Allah. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized them because of their sins, meaning He punished them because of their sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Indeed, Allah is powerful, severe in penalty. And this is a threat and a warning that when Allah is so powerful, fear Him. Fear disobeying Him. Because if He decides to punish you, if He decides to, Allahu Akbar, if He decides to punish us for what we are doing, there is no safety. There's no getting away. There's no survival. So when Allah is Al-Qawi, yes, we have hope. Yes, we don't fear the creation. But it also means that we should be humble before Allah and fear His iqab, fear His punishment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qawi, it also means that we should seek strength from Him. Why? Because all power is with Him. He is the giver of power. He is the giver of strength. So whether it is strength that you need in your hands, strength that you need in your body, strength that you need in your eyes, in your ears, in your in your ability to memorize, in your ability to remember things, in your ability to accomplish your goals, seek quwwah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need people to help you. You need, supporters. You need people to cooperate with you. You want, ways and paths to be opened up for you. seek strength from Al-Qawi, because it is only He who gives power. In Surah Hud, Ayah 52, we learn, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرُسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. That, O my people, seek forgiveness from your Lord and repent to Him. He will send the sky over you abundantly, meaning He will send a lot of rain on you, and He will increase you in your strength. The quwwah that you already have, the power that you already have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will add to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase that. So if you want your quwwah to increase, realize that that increase will only come by the will of Allah. So don't seek quwwah by disobeying Allah. Don't seek strength and power by opposing Allah. No, seek that strength and power by obeying Allah, by pleasing Him, by doing things the right way. In Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 160, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, there is no one that can overcome you at all. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abandons you, فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Then who is there who could help you after Him? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to leave you unhelped, without any strength, then who could help you? No one could help you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, then seek quwwa from Him azza wa jal. Then also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, and Allah has given us, you know, some quwwa, whatever quwwa that may be, then use that quwwa, use that ability, how much ever it is, for the sake of Allah, in order to please Allah, in order to support His deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 40, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. That Allah will definitely help the one who helps Him. Yani the one who helps Allah, the one who helps the religion of Allah, the cause of Allah, the one who takes a step forward in the way of Allah, then Allah will definitely help that person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌ عَزِيزٌ. Indeed, Allah is powerful. He is mighty. So use the strength that Allah has given you, whatever little it may be, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do good, to help the deen of Allah. And when you will do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid you. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. And use this quwwah that Allah has given you to worship Allah better, to obey Him better. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take what we have given you with strength. Meaning, hold on to the book of Allah powerfully. And this doesn't just mean that you hold on to it, you know, physically. That physically, if you're holding the Mus'haf, you hold it with strength so that it doesn't fall, it doesn't slip from your hands. Rather, what this means is that your adherence to the book of Allah, your connection with the book of Allah, should be very strong. And use your strength to be a reciter of the Quran. Use your strength to be a follower of the Quran. And strength is needed over there. So the strength, the power that Allah has given you, don't just use it for worldly things. Of course, you have to use it for worldly things, but it shouldn't all be exhausted in worldly goals. Use it for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it for earning His approval. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi and He has given us quwwa, then we should use that quwwa. We should use that strength. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-mu'minu al-qawiyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. This is in Muslim. That the believer who is strong is better and more beloved to Allah than the believer who is weak. Even though in each believer there is goodness. And each person has their own, their own worth, their own, place near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their own unique gifts and talents and skills that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. But the believer who is qawi is better and more beloved to Allah. Why? Because with that quwwah, with that strength, that believer is able to do more. But subhanAllah, what about the people who have all that quwwah, all that strength, all that power in their body, in their in their mental capability, but yet they don't use that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we should truly be ashamed of ourselves if, you know, we have all of that strength in our bodies and we don't use that to do something beneficial for ourselves or for others. And sometimes it's amazing how there are individuals who are overburdened, you know, with work. It could be house chores even. And there are other people who consider themselves completely exempt simply because of their gender or because of other things that they're doing. Why do we feel ashamed to do physical work, physical labor? Why do we think that it is beneath us? Or why do we think that it is useless? When we see that the prophets of Allah, who are the best of men, they used their quwwa not to lord over people, not to boast of what they possessed, no, but to benefit people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used his quwwa to dig the trenches, right? And before that, to build the masjid, right? People were carrying mud, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also carrying mud. People were digging the trenches, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was working along with them, right? Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at home, he would be in the service of his family. What does that mean? That he wouldn't just be sitting there waiting to be served by everybody. No, he would use his strength, his power to help his family. And this is, you know, something that every single person needs to reflect over. That when Allah has given us that quwwa, why aren't we using that? Why are we just sitting with it? And why are we expecting that other people should continue to, work and exert themselves to a point that they either snap or their bodies become exhausted and they're no longer able to do anything? There should be some kind of equality, especially when it comes to, physical work. So be useful with the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. We learn about Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Qasas ayah 26, that when he reached Madian and he saw that, two ladies are trying to keep their flock away from the water, he didn't just sit there, thinking, oh, it's, their problem, whatever. No, he went up to them and he asked them, what's the matter? How come you're not letting your animals drink? Is there a problem over here? And the ladies told him that, we don't go with our flock until the shepherds leave. When they leave, then we take our, flock into the water. So Musa alayhi salam, because it was, who knows when those shepherds were going to leave? And who knows if there was going to be enough water left for the flock of these ladies. Musa alayhi salam took their flock to the water, let them drink, and then he took the flock back to the ladies. And then he didn't ask for any wage. He didn't ask for any compensation. He just went and he sat in the shade. And one of the ladies, she said to her father later on, Ya abati istajirhu, oh my father, hire him. Because in the khayra man istajarta al-qawiyul amin, the best person whom you can hire is the one who is qawi, who is strong, who uses his strength. And amin, he is trustworthy, he is reliable. Meaning he took the flock and he returned it to us. And he's so strong, he came all the way from Egypt to Madian. He was exhausted, yet he managed to take our flock into the water, let them drink, and then he returned our flock to us. This is quwwa. The evidence that a person is truly strong is not, how built their body is, or how frequently they go to the gym, or how much protein they consume, etc. No, or how little fat content there is in their body. No, the real evidence that a person is strong, that a person, has strength, is what they do and how they help others, how they are, useful with the abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. We learn about Yusuf alayhi salam also, that how he, offered his services, right, to be able to manage the resources of the land, because the next 15 years were going to be very crucial. So we see this in the prophets of Allah, that they used their quwwah to benefit themselves and to benefit others. And here we are just boasting, the quwwah that we have. The maximum we do is, flex those muscles, take a selfie, post it on, social media so that people can be impressed by the strength that we have. Or go to the gym and lift certain weights and, take a short video, etc., and post it on social media and boast. And is this what the quwwah is for? No, the quwwah that Allah has given us is not so that we can show it off. Not so that we can impress people, impress men or impress women. No, this quwwah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is for us to use. And the quwwah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is both tangible and intangible. Right, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that the strong one is not the one who can defeat another in a fight. The strong one is the one who is able to control his anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi. He is the strongest. He is the source of strength. He is the giver of strength. So we should be humble before him. We should fear him. We should be grateful for the strength that he has given us. And we should use it in ways that please him. Now, when we look at the name Al-Qawi in the Quran, it is paired with the name Al-Aziz. And many times in the Quran, the name Qawi comes with the name Aziz. Aziz is mighty. So for example, in Surah Al-Mujadala, ayah 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌ عَزِيزٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that I will indeed overpower, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prevail. Allah and His messengers. Victory, success will be for Allah and for Allah's messengers. Because indeed, Allah is qawi, He is aziz, He is strong, He is mighty. So Allah is qawi, meaning He is powerful, and He is aziz, meaning He is able to execute His will. So none can resist Him. And then we see that the name also comes in the Quran with shadidul iqab, severe in penalty. And this is a threat, a warning, that Allah is powerful, more powerful than those who commit oppression on earth. He is more powerful than those who disobey Him, than those who are arrogant before Him. And He is shadidul iqab, severe in penalty, meaning when He punishes them, then His punishment for them is truly severe. And they cannot survive after that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qawi, how is it that we can call upon Him by this beautiful name, by this excellent name? Firstly, we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would make sajda tilawa. Sajda tilawa is that when you are reciting certain verses of the Quran where sajda is mentioned, then you also make sajda right there and then. So when he would be in sajda tilawa, he would say, sajada wajhiya lilladhi khalaqahu wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu bihawlihi wa quwwatihi. That my face prostrates to the one who created it. I am putting my face on the ground, making sajda to the one who created this face. And shaqqa sam'ahu. Shaqqa is to split, okay? To create an opening. So he created the opening for its hearing, its ability to hear. So that hole that we have in our ears, right? Because of which we're able to, receive all of the sound waves. That has been created by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa basarahu. And its vision, the vision that we have, the eyes, the opening, of the eyes, that has also been created by Allah. So وَشَقَّ سَمْعَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ. How did He do that? بِحَوْلِهِ وَقُوَّتِهِ. By His might and by His power. So it is with the quwwah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that He that He not only created us, but He created us with all of these abilities. So this is a way of glorifying and praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing that Allah has given us. Secondly, when it comes to calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His name Al-Qawi, meaning the one who has quwwah, then we should frequently say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Meaning, there is no might, no power except with Allah. Quwwa, yani Al-Qawi is the one who has all quwwa, so every quwwa is with Allah. And if anyone has any quwwa, it has been given by Allah. Now the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, yani it seems as though we're only praising Allah over here. And yes, indeed, we are praising Allah here. But this is a kalima of isti'ana, meaning this is a statement of, this is a way of seeking the help of Allah. Because when you say, there is no might or power except by Allah, you're essentially asking Allah that, Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, give me strength. Right? So this is a way of seeking the help of Allah. And this is the reason why we're supposed to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, when the mu'adhin says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Right? Come to salah and come to success. Why do we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Because when the mu'adhin is saying, come to salah, then we say, yes, we will come to salah, but we can only do that by the help and power that Allah gives. So, Ya Allah, I ask you for the strength, the ability to pray, to go to pray. And we also say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, as a part of dua that we make when we leave the house. Because again, when we're leaving the house, we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. So this is why we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now, what does it mean, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? Hawl means haraka, movement. And quwwa, as you know, means strength or power. So, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means that no one can move. No one can move. And no one can exert any strength except by the will of Allah. Or except by the tawfiq of Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables them. No one can move. Move as in la hawla, because hawl is to move. So no one can move, meaning from sin to obedience, right? Or from point A to point B, or to repel any evil, anything bad that is coming their way. No one has, you know, the ability to move, okay, forward or backward or right or left, right, or shift, you know, change their condition, repel any evil, except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables them. And wala quwwa, yani no one has the strength to worship Allah, to do something good, to bring something good, their way, to earn something good, except by the tawfiq, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically what we're saying is, all power is with Allah. I can't do anything unless Allah enables me. I cannot be safe unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me safe. So this is why we should say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a lot. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one of the companions, Ya Hazim, أكثر من قول لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فإنها من كنوز الجنة. It is from the treasures of paradise. So say it a lot. Now, we say this as part of the dua when we leave the house, which is بسم الله توكلت على الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. That in the name of Allah, I leave. In the name of Allah, I put my trust in Allah, and there is no might, no power except with Allah. And these days, especially when you're leaving the house, there is a sense of fear. You are healthy, you are safe inside of your house. You go outside, you're vulnerable, you're exposed to so many things. You don't know what you might catch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. There's that fear. So, Bismillah, I leave in the name of Allah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. I put my trust in Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no ability to repel any evil or to bring anything good except by Allah, by the tawfiq of Allah. So when a person says this, when they're leaving the house, It is said, Hudita wa kufita wa wuqita, that you have been guided, you have been defended, and you have been protected. Allahu Akbar. So this is your protection, this is your safety. Also we learn that in the night, in a hadith we learn, this is a hadith in Bukhari, that whoever wakes up in the night and says, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, alhamdulillah, wa subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? All of these adhkar, if a person says them, then he says, Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah, forgive me. Or he makes a dua, right? He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ustujiba, he will be responded. And Allah will answer him. And if he makes wudu and prays, then his salah will be accepted. So even in the night, you know, when you wake up, then, make dhikr of Allah, and especially say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then also, after eating and on wearing clothes. In a hadith we learned, this is a hadith in Abu Dawood, that whoever eats some food and then he says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha at'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwah, that all praise to the one who fed me this food and gave me sustenance from or through no might or power of mine or on my part, meaning this was all by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if I that I was able to eat this food, Allahu Akbar, this is by the power of Allah, and truly this is something worth reflecting over, because you know the food that we're eating, sometimes that food, you know, in one bowl is food, you know, a combination of different foods that have come from so many, different parts of the world. And you think about the spices, where did they come from? Which part of Africa or which part of India, right? Think about the oil, which part of South America did that come from? Think about the vegetables, right? Which part of the world did they come from? Think about the lentils, think about the meat. Where did that come from? So did you have the power of your own to bring all of that food to yourself? No. Did you have the strength to, you know, put all of that together? No. If you were able to purchase it, and if you were able to, you know, prepare it, and if you were able to put it in your dish, this was by the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled you. And then the fact that you're able to eat the food, the fact that you're able to lift up the food to your mouth, subhanAllah, if a person's hand is hurt, they're not able to feed themselves. If a person does not have the strength to walk up to the, to their kitchen and open the refrigerator and take the food out and heat it up, how can they eat it? The strength that you have to even feed yourself, that strength you have because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the strength, the ability to chew the food, the ability to swallow the food, the ability to digest the food. All of that is a gift, a blessing from Allah. So whoever says this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ زَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. All his sins will be forgiven. SubhanAllah, every time you eat, you have an opportunity to earn forgiveness. When you say this dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha at'am wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwah. And then also a similar dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wears a garment, right, whoever puts on some clothes, and says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani hadha thawba wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwah, that all praise to Allah who clothed me with this cloth and provided me from, through no might or power on my part. And the same thing with our clothes. Yani, where did that cotton come from? Where did that silk come from? Which part of, you know, China or Africa or, you know, Australia or what part of the world? And where was that harvested? And where was the yarn produced? And then where was the material produced? And where was it stitched? And how did it reach your continent? And how did it reach your country and this, you know, your city and the store that you got it from? And then the ability to purchase it, the ability to find something that fits you well, you know, find something that is comfortable on your body, that looks good on you. And the fact that you're able to change your clothes yourself. How did you have that power? How did you have that ability? How did you have that might? Is this your own? No, this is because of the quwwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you and the rizq that He brought to you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever says this on wearing clothes, then again, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ, that all of his sins will be forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us also. Very quickly, I would like to go over the next name and then inshallah we will conclude. And the next name is Al-Mateen. It's very similar to Al-Qawi. Al-Mateen, the one who is firm. And this name of Allah occurs once in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, ayah 58, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, that indeed Allah is the continual provider, the firm possessor of strength. Now, Al-Mateen is the one who has matan, and matan is explained as the hard or the outer part of something. And it's also used for the back of an animal, or it's also used for ropes that hold a tent. So you're thinking about, you know, a solid structure or something, you know, like the spine or the ropes, that hold something together, right? And the ropes have to be really strong. The back of an animal, it's got to be really firm and strong. So you're talking about the strongest part of something, which is why the word matan is also used for the middle of a bowl, because that's where where you're holding it from, and it has to be really firm, because if it's not strong, if it snaps, then that bowl is useless. So mateen is something that is firm in its strength, and not just powerful, but the power is very firm. It is very stable. And mateen is also someone who possesses, you know, their whatever quality they have to an utmost degree, right? Or the strongest degree. So mateen is what is firm in strength and possesses any quality to the strongest degree. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mateen, what does that mean? Al-mateen is the one who is intense, who is shadid in his power. Imam Ghazali said that matana shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's quwwah is shadid. Yani it is very intense. It is very strong. It is very mighty. It is unconquerable. Yani no one can conquer it. No one can defeat it. No one can weaken it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mateen, this also shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is such that it does not end. It does not become weak, and it is not affected by fatigue, nor is it that something becomes too burdensome. Allahu Akbar. And we learn in the Quran how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِنَّ, He did not get tired, right, by creating them. He did not get fatigued. In Ayatul Kursi, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا, guarding, preserving the skies and the earth does not tire him, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-mateen, and He is the strongest, He is the firmest, and no matter how powerful you think Allah is, He is even more powerful than that. His strength, His power is stable. So the passage of time, and what He does not weaken Him. And whatever qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses, whether it is the ability to create, or the fact that He knows everything, the fact that He hears everything, all of His abilities, all of His qualities are of the strongest degree. And this is why two times in the Quran we learn in Surah Al-Qalam, Ayah 45, and in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 183, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ, that my plot is very firm. And even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a plan in order to punish those who are deserving of that punishment, then that plan is very firm. So no one can escape it. No one can, you know, change it. No one can avoid it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mateen, it means that we should realize that we are weak before Allah. And we suffer from weakness because we are the creation, right? And when we are, experiencing any weakness, then we should place our expectations in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is al-mateen. When we place our expectations in people who are not, firm and stable in their strength, then we get disappointed. You know, what happens with people is that their strength is temporary. It is not absolute. They suffer from weakness, from fatigue, from decline. And this is why it would be foolish to place our expectations in people. Place your expectations in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are weak, when you are feeling weak, realize that your Lord is al-mateen. So don't be afraid, because remind yourself that I am Abdul Mateen, or I am Amatul Mateen. I am the slave of al-mateen. I am the slave of the one who is firm and strong, who does not become weak. And when Allah is al-mateen, yet He is so kind to His slaves, then we should also be kind to the slaves of Allah and not become arrogant by the little power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to remember Him and place our trust in Him and expect the best from Him. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.